Over getting early, will you? I want to talk to you today about the shepherds. Let's begin reading with verse number 1. We'll read kind of almost the entire Christmas story here in Luke chapter number 2. The Bible says, "And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all of the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth unto Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought first her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn." Now from verse number 8 down to verse number 20 is kind of where we're going to deal with this morning. "And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, you shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste, and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told by them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all of these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them." If I were to ask you this morning to name the main characters of the Christmas story, I wonder how long it would take for someone to call out the shepherds. I'm sure that the first two names that would come up would be Mary and Joseph. Perhaps the angels that appeared in the sky. No doubt the innkeeper's name would come up. Most definitely the wise men would be at the top of the list, even though the wise men are part of the story. In all likelihood, they didn't come until Jesus was almost 2 years of age. We would think about the star in Bethlehem that shone so bright. Somebody might mention Herod's name because, you know, there was a threat to his kingdom. He perceived a threat to his kingdom, and boy, he was going to stamp out that threat to his kingdom. And after naming all of the people, someone might stand up and say, you know, what about the shepherds? When God chose Mary and Joseph to be the earthly parents, he didn't go to the most influential people of the world to choose, nor the most popular, but he went to the lowly, humble, righteous couple, Mary and Joseph. When God chooses men to be witnesses to the birth of his son, once again, he didn't go to the kind of people that you and I might have chosen. He went to a group that would have been considered some of the lowliest people of the society, the shepherds. Way back in Genesis 46, when Joseph was fixing to bring his brothers to Egypt, his brothers were shepherds. But it kind of gives us an ideal of what shepherds were thought of way back in the Old Testament time. Genesis 46, verse number 33 through verse number 34. Here is what the Bible says. "And it came to pass, when Pharaoh called you and shall say, What is your occupation? That ye shall say this, Thy servant's trade hath both been about cattle from our youth even until now, both we and also our fathers, that ye may dwell in the land of Goshen. For every shepherd is an abomination unto the Egyptians." You say, way back in biblical times, People looked down upon shepherds. Shepherds were nobody important. Matter of fact, that's a strong word, an abomination. David Jeremiah, in his book, Why the Nativity, says this about shepherds. He says, as a matter of fact, they were despised everywhere as well. Shepherding was one of those occupations that everyone needed and no one desired. And I added this little comment. They would have made Mike Rowe's TV's dirtiest jobs. You ever watch TV's dirtiest jobs, Mike Rowe? The shepherds would have been part of his TV show, I'm sure. David Jeremiah goes on and says this. Hebrews, in particular, prized cleanliness and purity. Life among sheep lent itself to tired feet, long work hours, and unwanted aromas. He would later add this about the shepherds. They were the least educated of men. They were ranch hands who were despised by local gentry, men whose skin glistened with sweat, whose clothes gave off the stench of the fields, those who lacked the most basic manners, whose used language unfit for your children's ears. Minimum wage earners who were unlikely to be admitted to any respectable establishment of the time. On this night, they were favored by heaven. Just as the angel appeared to Zacharias in the temple to tell him about the miracle birth of John, just as the angel appeared to Mary to inform her that she had been chosen to carry the Christ child, just as the angel appeared to Joseph in a dream to reveal to him that the baby that Mary was carrying was of divine origin, there was an angel that appeared to these shepherds on the hillside that night to tell them they can witness the birth of Jesus. Try to imagine with me for just a few moments. We could turn out the lights here if we wanted to, and it would be dark. But can you imagine you're out on the hillside? It's just like any other night. It's probably really dark. They can probably see the lights of Bethlehem off in the distance, and they're kind of wondering maybe what is going on in Bethlehem. They wish they were probably home in their bed. And all of a sudden, there was an angel that appeared. This angel was surrounded by light, and as I said, I believe it was brighter probably than the noonday sun. The Bible says that these shepherds were sore afraid. These were men of men. I mean, they were used to being out in the darkness, and all of a sudden, when the angel shows up, they are quaking in their boots. You've heard me say this a lot of times. A lot of people in society, they want to get really adamant towards God, and they want to get prideful and arrogant towards the things of God. But I'm going to tell you one thing. When you come into the presence of God, you're always humble. You can't do anything else but. This holy angel shows up, and these men who were some of the toughest of society, when they saw just the angel, the Bible says that they were sore afraid. The angel spoke to them, and what did the angel say? The angel says, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people." Someone has rewritten this verse to say it this way: "I bring you the most joyful news ever announced, and it is for everyone." I've said this, the shepherds are the first to get to hear the greatest news ever given. This news is not just for them, but it is for all people now and in the future. It's still the greatest news today, and here is the news. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Can I tell you that's the greatest news that you've ever heard? Hey, I got to hear my wife say 3 times that she was pregnant and we were going to have babies. That was great news. It wasn't the greatest news. I asked CJ to marry me, and she said, yes, that was great news, but it wasn't the greatest news. The greatest news that I've ever heard was there is a Savior that's been born for me. The shepherds were the first to hear that. There's a Savior born. The angel then tells them how they can know for sure that what they are saying is truth and provable. He says this in the text, There shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in the manger. I want you to think about that. There's just one angel that's speaking. And he gives them this great news. And then all of a sudden, that hillside just lights up even greater, because the Bible says then there is a heavenly host of angels. You might know what a host is. I started to look up and find out exactly how many a host is. I don't know how many it is. I just know it's a whole bunch. And all of a sudden, these shepherds are there, and all of these angels are all around, and the main angel is there. And notice what they are doing in verse number 13. They are praising God, and they are saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men." I'm telling you, it is a wonderful, exciting time. There wasn't anything on TV to watch last night like normal. And so I had started watching something earlier in the week, and I didn't get finished. And so it was on YouTube. So I went back and finished it. And so I was flipping through the channels, and I stopped on the Mormon Tabernacle Choir doing one of their Christmas presentations a few years ago. If you've never watched anything like that, you ought to just watch that, because we're talking probably, I don't know, 700-800 people involved. I mean, there's probably 100 in the orchestra, probably 400-500 in the choir, and all of that. And you get all of that music, and you get all of those people that can sing, and you get all the handbells, and then you have those herald trumpets, about 10 herald trumpets that are across the front of it. Now, it may not do anything to you, but I'm telling you, when I hear that kind of stuff, it makes me excited, want to shout hallelujah and do all of those type of things. I love the Collinsworth family. Does anybody know who the Collinsworth family is? Oh, I'm telling you what, you ought to get a hold of some music. You ought to listen to the Collinsworth family. But Kim Collinsworth is really kind of the main one. She plays the piano, and she is one of the greatest pianists probably in our country right now. But they were in David Jeremiah's church in California this last week on their Christmas trio. And they have this big orchestra, and they have this big choir. And she is playing, I believe it's O Holy Night. I believe it's what she's playing. And I'm telling you, you have her playing, and you have all these people singing, and you have all the orchestra and all the strings just playing and everything. And I'm going to tell you what, as I was listening to that, I think I was in my office. Heaven just came down a little bit. You ever been in a place where heaven just comes down? Now, I know some of you may be used to boring kind of stuff, but I'm telling you, when God shows up and heaven comes down and your soul is touched, it is wonderful. That is what is going on this hillside with all of these angels and all of this singing and this mighty host. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace and goodwill towards men. I'm telling you, it was exciting what was taking place. The angels leave. Verse number 15. The Bible says that the angels leave, and the shepherds now have to make a decision. What are we going to do? Are we just going to sit around and enjoy what we've experienced and what we've seen, or are we going to go and check out the news and see if they're telling us the truth or not? They look at each other and they say, "Hey, but we better go down to Bethlehem and see what is taking place there." And so they go. And then the Bible tells us that they find the babe that's wrapped in swaddling clothes. Verse number 14, "And it came to pass, and the angels were gone away from them unto heaven. The shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste, and Mary and Joseph and the babe, and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in the manger." I wonder how wonderful that would have been. To know that you're looking at a little bitty baby that will one day grow up and go to the cross and pay for your sins and my sins and make salvation available. I like what the next verse says. Verse number 17, "And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child." And all they heard it wondered at those things which are told by them, the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. You see, when the shepherds saw this, they couldn't keep quiet. Hey, Linda, man, there were some angels that appeared to me. Told me about this baby that was in Bethlehem. And guess what? We went and checked it out. And guess what we found? We found a baby in the manger. Why don't you come and see with me? I think they did what she did. They were amazed at the story. Hey, Jeffro, man, I seen had angels on the hillside. Said there was going to be a baby in the manger and he was going to be a savior of the world. Man, we went and we saw it. Why don't you come and see and go with me? They did the same thing Jeff did. I never thought of it in this context until I'm fixing to read this long passage that I put in there. But you see, the angels, when they heard the shepherds, when they heard the angels talk about the birth of Jesus, they were ready to respond. When Linda over here heard the shepherds, she didn't know if she believed or not. She wasn't ready to leave everything and go. Jeffro, he wasn't ready to leave everything and go. There was a great difference in the messenger. Boy, if you hear an angel speak, you really want to get after it and do something, don't you? If you hear old Dave speak or preach, it's not that important. I don't read a lot after Tim Keller, but I do read some after him. As I was studying this lesson and reading different guys of what they had to say about these shepherds, I remembered a book that I had bought several years ago called The Hidden Christmas, The Surprising Truth Behind the Birth of Christ. It's in part of this chapter where he's talking about the shepherds that he talks about this ideal of why the shepherds responded and perhaps those they told didn't respond. I've included, there's about 7 or 8 pages that is making this point. I've just included probably about a page. And I know this is not real Christmassy, but I believe it is something that really caught my attention, and I thought it was worth sharing, and I hope it's worth sharing, or you think it's worth sharing. Here is what he says. We should be aware of being too distracted by the quality of the messenger. I want to read that again. We should beware of being too distracted by the quality of the messenger. Notice that the shepherds seem to have been more deeply affected than the rest of the people. That may be because the shepherds heard the message from angels, but everybody else just heard it from ordinary shepherds. As many Christmas sermons will rightly tell you, the shepherds were not people of social standing in ancient societies. They were not educated. They did not have social power. The shepherds heard the word from angels. They were riveting and impressive speakers, to say the least, but the rest of the people heard the gospel from human beings who were not eloquent or impressive at all. If a message is challenging or hard to believe, it is easy to dismiss it by focusing on the messengers. Why believe someone like that? I want you to think about that. Boy, I tell you what, if the preacher's stepping on our toes, or if the Word of God is stepping on our toes, we take the focus off of what is being said, we take the focus off the message, and we try to put it on the messengers. He's too loud. He's too soft. He's too boring. He's too this. He's too that. He doesn't have a good personality. I mean, whatever it is that we can do to discount the message, we do that. He goes on and he says this, we ourselves are in a very similar position. The author of the Bible, in some cases, did literally see angels, or they had revelations directly from God, or in the apostles' case, they knew Jesus Christ personally. The authors of the Bible got visions and revelations, but we get just a book. And along with it, communicators who were very human preachers, teachers, and messengers. This is a serious problem for a society like ours, which seems to have a culture-wide attention deficit disorder. It is extraordinarily easy to not really hear the Word of God because it comes to us through such non-spectacular means. The Bible is a long book, and it is by no means a simple book to read. Preachers and teachers are famously flawed, and every time one of them stumbles, it seems to be a warrant for turning away from the whole Christian enterprise, Bible and all. However, our instincts here are not reliable. Even a laughable messenger might be delivering a true message. Balaam's donkey was, let's say it, an ass. Yet in one of the strangest and most interesting accounts in the Bible, God spoke to Balaam through it. The lesson is that the medium is not the message, that we must not ignore uncomfortable truths just because they come through an unimpressive messenger. I have often heard people say that they have gone to such and such church and the preacher droned on too long and was boring. I often counter, okay, but was the sermon wrong? Even though it was boringly communicated, was God's truth being set before you? All of us can relate to that. We've all sat in a church service and heard a preacher preach on, and our minds go somewhere else. I'll never forget, I preached at a fellowship meeting in Sweetwater, Texas many, many years ago, and the guy that preached before me was a guy that I loved, and he was a great man. He preached 10 minutes, and I thought he had preached an hour. I mean, it went forever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever, and it was only 10 minutes, and I thought, goodness gracious, isn't he ever going to shut up and let me preach? We've all been in services like that, where the focus is the messenger instead of the message. Some of the greatest messages have probably been preached by those that were not very, that didn't have very much charisma. How many people have ever heard this sermon, "The Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God"? You ever heard that sermon? It's one of the most famous sermons that has ever been preached. It was preached by a guy by the name of Jonathan Edwards. It was so powerful, I have read that 7 people left and committed suicide. People were running down the aisles trying to get right with God. But you know how it was preached? Taking a text and just reading it. You see, the most powerful messages doesn't have to come from those that have the most charisma and oratory ability. Sometimes the most powerful messages comes from those that's just been with God. The shepherds, they were excited. Man, we heard the angels. The other people, not so excited because it was just the shepherds. And this coming new year, let me challenge you. Focus on the message first. See what God has for you. Because I promise you, God knew that you was going to be here today. He knew what your need was. And He knew what you needed. And He will use Brother Chris, Brother Dwayne, me, or anybody else that teaches you something that can help you. Because it's the message. God, we love you today, and we're grateful for your word. We're grateful for all of these words.